The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, as I do, he can create all sorts of strange special effects using these little buttons on our mixer. Is that what you're doing?
Oh, no, that's all natural. I can just do it with my vocal cords, you know, because my Zeta Reticulum biology is conducive to such things. Now, you're a reptilian, right, Gene?
I resemble that remark.
There, you just answered it for me. Thank you.
I am not a reptilian. I cannot say what I am or what I am not because I do not presume to get into that. Now, the other possibility here, and this takes us to another crazy realm, is that UFOs are not from outer space. They are not some kind of psychic phenomenon that we perceive on a subconscious level and we adapt to being UFOs or whatever the cultural meme is at the time. That there are other civilizations, people, human beings or intelligent beings sharing our planet. Secret civilizations. What do you think?
It's an interesting concept. I mean, we obviously see, and by the way, actually, I came across an interesting UFO book the other day that looked at some of these beliefs, namely as it relates to the so-called Shaver mystery, which we'll revisit here in a moment. But I'm someone who has so many books in my collection that sometimes I forget or don't even fully know what books I own. And I was pouring over some in my bookshelf the other day and found a book by Donald Menzel, who had really been before class one of the arch UFO skeptics of his day. And nonetheless, who also had an affinity for sitting around doodling various kinds of alien life forms. So, pretty interesting little anecdote. But in this book that he'd written on flying saucers back in the old days, Menzel had addressed the Shaver mystery. And there are a lot of different beliefs about what you might call, and what the late Mac Tawney's had called, crypto-terrestrial civilizations.
Let me just tell everybody, a lot of our listeners know, maybe those who are new to the show don't, that in the 60s and 70s, until his death, I knew Richard Shaver. One time I even visited him at his cottage in Arkansas.
Wow.
Okay, I knew Palmer. I knew Shaver. So isn't that weird? Anyway, tell us, what did Donald Menzel, a Harvard astronomer, by the way, say about Richard Shaver?
Well, he, of course, I think, broke it down and made the case that Shaver was probably hallucinating or building off of hallucinations or was purely just being imaginative. And I don't think that that's an unfair assessment. As a brief anecdote about Menzel, it had never been apparent to me that there was information that isn't very well publicly discussed about Menzel. But in fact, behind the scenes, there seems to be quite a bit of legitimate information about him. That is the fact that he held numerous top secret clearances over the years. Stanton Friedman had been the one who pointed it out to me. And I said, "Now, Stanton, I've never heard that." And he says, "Well, you need to read my book." And so while we
We now have an imitation of Stanton Friedman.
Yes. And it's meant lovingly, by the way. He's a great guy. But he was standing there with me in California, and we had a lengthy talk about this, but I grabbed a copy of a number of his books, and in his book, Top Secret Magic, whatever one seems to think about MJ-12, you know, and I'll tell you this too, Gene, interestingly, while Stanton is always cited as being one of the staunchest defenders of MJ-12, and he has, when we were at lunch together in Riverside, California, I'd said, "But come on, some of these documents, you got to know, Stanton. I mean, you've got to admit they're probably fabricated." And he says, "Oh, of course they are. Of course some of them are fake, but not all of the information in the MJ-12 documents is fake." So, and one important point he makes is that indeed through his own records and documents that he recovered partially through the National Archives, Stanton did find mention of the fact that Menzel had held top secret clearance, which in Stanton's mind substantiates the idea that he could have been a part of this so-called MJ-12 group. Now, we won't go down that rabbit hole right now. I'm merely pointing out that it's interesting that in other literature, that fact I've noticed isn't just downplayed. It's often completely glossed over or not mentioned at all that Menzel had held a clearance. And so this fellow, yes, he had also been quite the UFO skeptic back in his day. As far as the Shaver mystery and what he said about that, of course, he downplayed the idea, but I bring it all up here because Shaver, I think, was the first who tried to propose that there was some sort of an earthly presence. And in the mind of Ray Palmer, the publisher of Amazing Stories and who went on to found Fate, but then it was handed over pretty promptly, I think, to Curtis Fuller.
He and Curtis Fuller both founded Fate magazine. Palmer, in the early days, ran it under the pseudonym Robert N. Webster. And because both he and Curtis Fuller were employed by Ziff Davis, they didn't want to get out that they had this other magazine going, because I can certainly see it might violate an employment agreement or something like that. So that's the reason. But they both control the product. However, later on, Palmer withdrew his participation.
Do you know why, Gene, why Palmer got out, by the way?
Well, I think he really wanted to go off and do his own thing, which is essentially what he ended up doing. I mean, it's more complicated than that. And if you want to know, there are several books out there. There's two books recently about Palmer and Shaver. And I know that we had Richard Taranto on the Paracast a few years ago, where he was talking about the book. And if you look up Richard Taranto's name and you do a search of the Paracast site at www.theparacast.com and you search Taranto, you'll find out that Richard Taranto was on July 7th, 2013, and the book was called War Over Lemuria, Richard Shaver, Ray Palmer, and the Strangest Chapter of 1940s Science Fiction. Okay? So
yeah.
That's where we kind of explain it all. It's very complicated there. And, you know, as a matter of fact, Palmer was a very unusual person. As I said, I knew him, and he made a lot of interesting arguments. One, flying saucers are here to make us think. He talked about UFOs in the inner Earth, and we're talking about secret civilizations, and we'll focus more on that in a moment, that you can get to through the hole at the North and South Poles. But that, in also a sense, is repeating the Pellucidar novels from Edgar Rice Burroughs of the early part of the 20th century. Okay, that's how they did with a balloon going, or an airship or a dirigible going through the hole to the center of the Earth from this hole at the North and South Poles. Then Palmer suggested they weren't physical holes. They were in the astral realm, like you were going into another reality, a second reality, to go to the inner Earth. It wasn't physically there. And then I remember meeting for the first time a very famous science fiction writer and a comic book writer, Otto Binder. Do you remember who he was?
You know, the name is extremely familiar. No relation to Albert Binder, right?
No, not Binder, B-I-N-D-E-R.
Oh, okay.
Not Bender. Okay, Otto Binder, in the 1940s, he worked on Captain America with Stan Lee. Okay. All right. He wrote the Captain Marvel Shazam stories. And in 1959, he was one of the creators of Supergirl. So I mentioned this to listeners before when the Supergirl TV show debuted. In the first episode, Supergirl saves a plane and causes some damage to a suspension bridge. The bridge was named the Otto Binder Bridge. And for no other reason than Otto Binder was one of the creators of Supergirl. Okay, so I met Otto Binder, knowing he was a friend of Ray Palmer because he founded a magazine called Space World that Palmer took over. And I asked him about Palmer, what do you think? And he said basically Palmer would simply write crazy theories just to get readers to react and write letters to the editor. He did it at Amazing Stories. He did it for his own magazines, Flying Saucers and Search. And this was just a way to start a debate. He didn't necessarily believe it. So that's the theory about Palmer.
Now, that's actually really interesting. There was that appearance that he did, maybe one of a few, I don't know, but I know that there's one still available online in which he appeared on the Long John Neville radio program. In that, and I may have mentioned this before, and I'm sure you're aware of it as well, Gene, but for those out there in listening land who have never heard this, Palmer, when he went on Long John Neville's radio show, was asked about George Adamski, and he said, look, I've got to tell you. The book that became, I guess, was it Flying Saucers Have Landed?
Right. We'll give you the answer. The answer about Ray Palmer's appearance on the Long John Neville radio show in our next segment with Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report. With Gene and Micah, you're in
the Paracast.
If you're fascinated by UFOs, ancient aliens, archaeological mysteries, ghost hunting, Atlantis, and any other paranormal topic as we are, be sure to check out apmagazine.info each month. Since 1985, it has presented the latest research by top researchers like Andrew Collins, Brad Steiger, and many others, and contains interviews with such leading personalities as Jacques Vallée. Click on one of their banners and check out apmagazine.info. As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
When I was 15 and a half years of age, I had two large mercury fillings put into my teeth. I got very sick that day, and over time, the mercury exposure damaged my body. My sunny disposition turned to depression and low energy. Many years later, I understood what had happened, and in 1991, I replaced these mercury fillings with white composite. In 1997, I learned that the homeopathic mercury detox I did years earlier did not remove the mercury from my body. I began an effective means of removing mercury from my body. My digestion and elimination returned to normal, and I began to have my life back. From 1999 to 2005, I tested the level of mercury in my body, and each test showed my mercury burden was high. After 5 years on One World Way, I recently did another mercury test. The results showed my body is free of mercury and virtually all toxic metals. One World Way is very powerful for detoxification support. It has helped many, and it may help you. Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, WHEY.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So let's talk about that. Background. Ray Palmer's a guest. on Long John Neville, Long John Neville being the famous talk show host of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, who pioneered all-night paranormal radio before there was ever a coast-to-coast AM with Art Bell. Long John did it first, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Palmer is interviewed by phone from his home in Amherst, Wisconsin, and he mentions, with regard to George Adamski, who wrote the book Flying Saucers Have Landed, about something else Adamski did some years earlier. Tell us more, Micah.
Yeah, when Ray Palmer had been working for Amazing Stories, I believe is when he first received a manuscript in which there was a spacecraft piloted by, I believe, Jesus Christ, came to Earth and was, you know, it was very reminiscent of the sort of contactee literature that would appear years later. The author of this manuscript had been none other than one George Adamski. Ray Palmer, again, who apparently a person who, through if not his actual beliefs or theories, nonetheless for interesting and spirited debate, would put out these unique theories about what UFOs may be and whether there were crypto-terrestrial civilizations, which was kind of, I guess, in that era, Palmer was kind of one of the leading proponents of this idea. In a moment of noted skepticism for Palmer, on Neville's radio program, he said, "I've got to tell you, though, the same story was repackaged by Adamski a few years later. Flying Saucers Have Landed was co-authored with Desmond Leslie." He said that in the new book, of course, it wasn't Jesus and a spaceship. It was a flying saucer, and Orthon was the occupant. So Palmer was convinced that Adamski was just an out-and-out liar who changed his stories to try and match the popular belief associated with UFOs that would soon follow Kenneth Arnold's encounter with alleged flying saucers over Mount Rainier.
Now, Edward Ruppelt thought Adamski was an out-and-out con man. But, you know, there's still a George Adamski Foundation out there. And I heard from someone who represented that place, and they wanted me to interview, I guess, one of the big muckety mucks at this organization. So I said, you know what? Aren't you aware that Adamski was exposed many, many years ago? And I mentioned, as one example, Jim Moseley has a special edition of the Saucer News magazine where he had the Adamski expose issue. But to add to that, that's been reprinted, by the way. We do have it online at jimmoseley.com. That's a site that I run off my server, and Kurt Collins, a fairly regular guest on the show, manages. Now, the other thing here is that Adamski had also said, quoted in this Adamski expose issue, that sometimes you have to go through the back door to get the truth across. So in writing this manuscript where he met Jesus Christ in a spaceship, he was spreading a message of peace and brotherhood. And then in order to deal with the cultural meme about UFOs in the early 50s, he had that same message expressed by Orthon, the silver-suited E.T. he met. Now, by the way, Michael Rennie in the movie Day the Earth Stood Still wore a silvery suit, but he didn't have long hair. He had normal-length hair. But you can see where Day the Earth Stood Still influenced the early contactees, too.
Yeah. You know what is kind of funny, Gene, is that with those early contactee cases, you see a thread which I know Joseph Farrell and a few others have talked about, which is the fact that many of the reported contactees reported that the entities that they encountered were, first of all, very human-like. They weren't exotic-looking alien creatures. And second of all, many of them, in addition to having telepathic powers, were often blonde hair and blue-eyed, the epitome of their gender, to borrow the terminology that later would be used by Travis Walton during his abduction experience, because he described very similar beings. We find in the famous Friendship Island case from off the coast of Chiloé Island in the 1980s off the southern coast of Chile. And again, this is well-known, perhaps one of the most well-known UFO cases in Latin America of the last few decades. And strangely, in I think, North America and parts of Europe, it's very less well-known. I've sat down with many extremely knowledgeable UFO researchers. When I bring up Friendship Island, they say, "You mean the Italian case from the 1950s? Well, this was used a similar name for this case from the 80s, but what had been described during a lot of these purported contacts with the denizens of the Friendship Island, which, very long story short, it was believed to be some sort of an island with some sort of an operation. Theories about it range from being an alien base on Earth to being some sort of an Area 51 kind of operation. One theory holds that it was a joint cooperative kind of effort between Germans, post-World War II Nazis maybe that escaped, and also the U.S. Air Force. Any number of different interpretations of what might have been going on out there. But Ernesto de la Fuente, I think, was the first guy who claimed to have had these encounters with the Holy Brothers of Friendship Island. Again, tall, blonde-haired guys, blue eyes, and that they all look so similar they could just literally be brothers. So it's just kind of interesting that throughout the years, it wasn't just Adamski, but there have been many who have described having these encounters with these almost angelic-like human-type creatures which claim to be aliens. Variously, those from Friendship Island made similar claims that they were either angels of the Lord or actually from outer space themselves.
Well, I don't want to get into the racial aspect, but they tend to be white Nordic types.
Mm-hmm.
They're not Hispanics. They're not black. They're not Asian. Just saying.
Yeah, and that is important, though, you know, like you said, without having to really go down that rabbit hole, because unfortunately, interpretations of the apparent presence of these, or the consistency of the interpretation of these so-called Nordic aliens, I think it has been a point that some have used as leverage against fringe movements, UFO advocates and researchers in this field by various individuals from more skeptic circles, which is unfortunate because at some point along the way, skeptics, rather than saying, let's make a good argument against something, they tend to employ character assassination. We've talked about this in the past when I've come on and discussed Frederick Valentich. Character assassination and ways to diminish an argument by pointing out the, if not fallacies, the apparent, sometimes tenuous connections to negativity and anything from race issues to people smuggling drugs, like Class had said about Valentich. You know, these kinds of elements are presented for purpose of diminishing the argument through character assassination. And unfortunately, we've seen a little of that with the apparent trends that emerge in the contactee literature just as well.
Now, what do you see in the contactee literature that you're referring to? Just the Nordic-type alien or what?
Yeah, I mean, the point I'm making here is that, again, the apparent presence of a Nordic alien, you know, with the blonde hair and the blue eyes, this isn't the only consistency, but, I mean, this idea of this kind of a Anglo, this perfect kind of a, well, I'll tell you, you know, for instance, during the Second World War, this would have been what Hitler and the Nazis would have probably called an ideal-looking person. We, of course, today recognize the obvious problems with that and the unfortunate ideology of the Nazis that believed these kinds of things. Joseph Farrell, as a researcher, has really pointed this out. This is one element that emerges, but there are others, too, which kind of tie in with the Nazi UFO conspiracy theories. I don't mean to use that term, as I will often say. Here's your trigger warning, people. You know that I don't mean to use conspiracy theory as the weaponized term that I think many in the mainstream media use it for. I've been referred to as a conspiracy theorist or a conspiracy theory author because I write about UFOs. No matter how scientific you try to be about this, there's this kind of a collective attitude among many people today that this is a silly topic and that anyone who discusses it is a conspiracy theorist who believes in UFOs. But within serious UFO study, there are a number of theories that tie everything from the Nazis into it, and this is well known. So Joseph Farrell, the book specifically, although it's actually been, I should say, in a few of his books, but Saucers, Swastikas, and PsyOps was the book in particular that looked at some of these early contactee stories, the themes and the imagery present in them, their relationship with, again, fascist movements like the Nazi ideology, which was, as the researcher Peter Levin will point out, it was very much a kind of an occult movement as much as it was any kind of a political movement.
We've got more to come with Gene and Micah. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
How would you like to make 17% on your money in only 90 days?
That's right. Gold owners made 17% in only 3 months as gold had its best quarterly gain in 30 years. Gold is on the move, and you need to get government-issued, legal tender gold coins starting at only $139 each. The U.S. Money Reserve, one of the largest gold distributors in the country, announces the first ever at-cost gold release on this station for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Official U.S. government issued legal tender solid gold coins at cost for only $139 each. Call 1-866-944-GOLD. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book all about gold. Remember, gold is on the move, up 17%. Call 1-866-944-GOLD.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We continue. Two more segments left with Micah Hanks, and we're starting to get into the rabbit hole of secret societies and stuff. So I want to continue in that vein with Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report. Micah?
Yeah, certainly. Well, a good way to bridge over, I guess, from what we were talking about in the last segment is the so-called conspiracy theories that tie in everything from possible Nazi technology and things like this with the idea of modern UFOs. And I think that maybe William Cooper had been one who initially, he's an interesting character any way you want to look at it, controversial too. When Cooper became involved in the UFO community, he was first saying that he had been given information or that he had obtained information and been shown this during his time as a naval officer, and of course that this seemed to substantiate MJ-12. And then he later on kind of did an about-face, and Cooper, as he became more and more involved in, I think, the kind of right-wing constitutionalist movements that were particularly active in the 1990s and began to be around that time, he began to kind of change his perspectives, and Cooper had gone on to say he didn't think that they were anything that he had thought they were. He said he thought that they were our own. He thought that he had been lied to and had been misled to believe that aliens were visiting Earth, and he thought that the truth was that whatever this technology was, it was something our own government was using, and that there was a massive disinformation campaign that he had actually fallen victim to himself. Which brings us to this notion, Gene, that, you know, and some have, as Cooper did, suggested that maybe the mystery of the UFO presence can be explained through earthly technologies, and if not aliens, and if not some crypto-terrestrial civilization, then could it be our own global elitists, our own puppeteers that are pulling the strings from behind the scenes and controlling world affairs? I would say, as far as conspiracy theories go, that may be just as valid a theory to support the idea of UFOs as any that we've examined here, ET or whatever else. And so I guess one might question, could secret societies in some way, shape, or form have anything to do with UFOs? I guess that would be the fundamental premise, huh?
Well, let's look at secret societies. Now, we have Richard Dolan who talks of breakaway civilizations, which implies that a group of people, for whatever reason, decide they don't want to be a part of our society. They'll invent their own and go somewhere where they're not apt to be seen or discovered.
Right. I've been fascinated with that theory for quite some time. And what's funny is I was in Leeds, England, with Richard last October, and he and I went walking all over town one evening, and we found this. We were trying to find a restaurant. He and Anthony Beckett and I, and I think Mike Cleland and his girlfriend were with us. As we were stomping around Leeds trying to find a restaurant, we found this great Indian spot. And so we go in there, and Rich and I are sitting side by side, and we were talking. And again, I'd like to point out here that the idea of, in its modern usage, a breakaway civilization was first, to my knowledge, employed by Richard Dolan. And I've subsequently heard that term used by a number of other researchers. Most recently, to my shock and amazement, I even heard Alex Jones refer to the breakaway civilization. So a lot of people have applied that terminology, and really, I think we have Rich to credit for that concept. Now, that said, when I was having dinner with Richard in Leeds, and the food was very good, I might add, I was amazed that when I brought the Friendship Island case from Chile in the 1980s to his attention, he wasn't familiar with that one, which I think is, if the story is to be believed, I should say, maybe one of the best particular UFO cases that comes to mind. Whether or not it's really related to UFOs, I would question. But it certainly does seem to suggest some group or some sort of an operation carried out by those on the periphery of humankind that really don't want anything to do with the typical global affairs as we know it in terms of geopolitics. Now, when it comes to the idea of secret societies and how they may relate to that, again, the fundamental premise, and this is, once again, I guess, an extrapolation on conspiracy theories as it relates to UFO studies over the years. The premise is that globalist groups, and I keep using that term globalist, there are certain terms that, I mean, they're common in conspiracy literature. Globalization or globalists, who are those who advocate it, New World Order, this was a term that was utilized by George Herbert Walker Bush during his presidency, and others have used it also. What we're talking about is an expanded effort by those in power and control, particularly in North America and Europe, to foster not only goodwill, but furthered cooperation and working between North America and parts of Europe in an effort to globalize a sort of world economy and political structure. This is a rough explanation for this idea of globalism. Some of the downside of globalism is, as was described in Time magazine recently, stuff like the Panama Papers, Mossack Fonseca. Globalization has also made it more easy for those in power and who, maintain the top 1%, of all the wealth in the world, the one percenters, as they're called. It's made it easy for them to be able to move their funds around and also evade taxation with it. So there are problems, obviously, associated with globalism, and many conspiracy, I guess, presenters or commentators often argue against globalization. But one thing that we might further infer based on the literature is that those in power and in positions of wealth and those capable of moving funds around into secret locations and keeping them off the record could easily influence and even possibly bankroll private funded projects that would utilize highly advanced technologies. And that brings us to the breakaway civilization. Richard has suggested that perhaps one interpretation of the UFO phenomena is that the workings of such groups with their financial assets, with their shadowy dealings in the world of banking, and their ability to be able to privately and quietly fund such operations, that might be the reality behind the UFO phenomena, which is extremely interesting to me. And although a lot of people say that there's nothing to it and it couldn't be the case, I ask you simply this. Is it any crazier than the idea that ET is visiting Earth? If we're to presume that there's anything to UFOs at all, are we crazy to say that, well, this could be something that could be explained through earthly technologies behind the scenes rather than ETs, interdimensionals, crypto-terrestrials, something like that? It seems like, in fact, of those possibilities, the least crazy, perhaps, of them all.
Of course, we can theorize all the time about a breakaway civilization, about a secret organization that manages things such as the Bilderbergers or the Illuminati or the international bankers. But how do we go about proving any such thing?
Well, that's the problem. You know, like the broader UFO phenomena itself, we have anecdotal reports made by people, individuals, some of them very credible, that involve strange objects or illuminations that are seen in the sky. Some of these reports come from pilots. Some of these reports come from generals. Some come from police officers. Some come from just, you know, average Joes like yourself or me. The problem is that to try and create a strong case for or an origin story for UFOs that draws from the idea of global elitists and secret societies, it relies on the same tenuous threads that ufology, in the more general sense of the term, relies on. It's all anecdotal data. Well, we know that there have been secret groups. We do know in 1776 that the formation of the famous Illuminati took place. We do know that in the 1830s, the Order of Skull and Bones made its way over to Yale University. We know that the Bilderbergers began meeting in the 1950s and that they still meet today. But none of these realities that I discuss here necessarily can be conclusively tied to something like UFOs. And that's the kind of the catch, Gene, is that while I think that if we were to extrapolate on what could be behind UFOs, some people would think it would be absurd to suppose that it's an earthly phenomenon because the technologies represented in the literature appear to be far too exotic to be accounted for through earthly technologies. I would differ in that, well, if we have no evidence that conclusively proves alien life exists, aren't we creating a leap in judgment to presume that therefore aliens are behind the UFO phenomena? And so some people would say in the unlikelihood that aliens exist, or at very least the absence of evidence that we have right now, maybe it's more likely that aliens, or what we perceive as them, come from the future. It's some sort of a future technology. You know, the problem is that it seems at the end of the day, no matter what filter we attempt to apply to UFOs in terms of understanding the broader phenomena, we don't seem to have good physical evidence or hard proof. We don't have a smoking gun. We don't have a document that ties it to the Bilderbergers or to some other group. There doesn't seem to be anything that conclusively ties this together for us. Now, I'm of the mind that there is a phenomenon. I'm of a mind that there is something to the vast minority of UFO reports that do constitute more than just hearsay, misidentifications, and people's hopeful belief in aliens. Whatever it is, I don't know. And that seems to be where we stand right now. And I know that that's probably it's kind of a letdown for people who are looking for the ultimate truth about UFOs, but I'd much rather tell you I don't know than to feed you a line and to try and, you know, bolster my claims when I don't have good proof.
We have Micah Hanks of the Grailian Report with Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
I'm Jesse Gonzalez, Vice President of Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me in Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March Against Fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
He has one of those unusual voices that creates its own echo effect. Now, sometime I am going to play with the various effects I can produce, which I can do internally, but I don't want people to think that I'm some kind of extraterrestrial being. But what we are doing is looking at the secret societies and all the weird stuff that's going on. And of course, we're familiar with Skull and Bone Society at Yale, where a number of presidents who went to Yale, including W, were members. Now, how do they all become members of this group? I guess they imply when you ask them, it's just fun. You know, just a way of kind of blowing off steam. What do you think?
Well, you know, with Yale's secret society, of course, the Order of Skull and Bones, there are some interesting aspects about this. And I think at the end of the day, the ritual aspect of this is an element of absurdity that is prevalent in a lot of secret societies. Specifically, of course, there are the initiation rites, which some have said, and this is the thing, is that a lot of this is kept out of, you know, public record, but there are whispers about what actually happens that involve lying in a coffin and recounting various past experiences of different kinds. What's interesting is that that is one of many elements that emerge that kind of tie in death or macabre imagery, you know, skulls and crossbones and corpses and things like this. They aren't the only group that utilizes this kind of macabre imagery. There's another actually that's associated with Washington and Lee University that's called the Cadaver Society. Lesser known than Skull and Bones, and probably for one simple reason. For whatever the case, as you pointed out, with W being involved, his father before him, George Herbert Walker Bush, and then his father before him, Prescott Bush, the point is that all three of the Bushes were also bonesmen with Yale's Skull and Bones. And there were a lot of other people of note who have been members of Skull and Bones, William Howard Taft, Percy Rockefeller, we had, I think, William F. Buckley, the political writer, John Kerry, David McCullough. You know, so there have been a lot of them. But the point is that for whatever reason, Yale being, I think, you know, at the top tier as far as Ivy League schools go, their secret society does seem to have some sway and influence over those who go on to have careers in politics and government and whatnot. But many of these fraternal societies associated with these universities, they do employ a kind of, you know, macabre imagery. And that seemed to be something that harkens back to the early days of the mysteries, you know, the Druidic cults, you know, of Europe, you know, the ancient Egyptian religions and whatnot. They involved a lot of things that included the idea of death and then rebirth. This is something that was written an awful lot about by Sir James George Frazer in his book, The Golden Bough. Manly P. Hall in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages and Other Literature, talked a lot about the ancient mysteries and the way that the traditions in those organizations that involved death and rebirth, burial in coffin through initiation, which symbolized the death of the sun god, heliocentrism, or I guess, you know, worship of the sun, was central to a lot of these ancient groups. And whatever the method was that it made its way down, these same sorts of traditions have been carried on to the modern secret societies. And so this kind of this ritual component, absurd though it is at times, is something that is borrowed directly from the ancient mystery to traditions of ancient times, the archaic groups of philosophers that would gather together with one central focus, that secret wisdom existed, that it could be obtained and collected, and that maybe only certain members of society should be able to have access to that information, but that it should be carried on throughout the ages. And this is really the fundamental role secret societies have played since time immemorial.
We have all these organizations, and we have all these things that people involved in government do that gives rise to conspiracy theories. Now, in a previous segment, you mentioned in passing some of the news that's come out lately about something called the Panama Papers, which, again, Vladimir Putin supposedly had hidden some of his money. Maybe in the waning moments of this show, we could maybe focus on that just a little bit more, because it certainly gives rise to all sorts of conspiracy theories.
And more so than Putin himself, close friends and associates of his, including, I think, one famous cellist who was a friend of his, a lot of people. And it wasn't just Vladimir Putin. It was also, I think, one of the most notable world leaders who was tied in with this, which actually led to his resignation, was the Prime Minister of Iceland. This Mossack Fonseca thing, and that's a reference to the actual banking firm in Panama. It's pretty interesting. I think this really kind of goes back to early 2015. There was a German newspaper, I think it's Süddeutsche Zeitung is the one, that began having information leaked to them by a hacker. This is really, Gene, kind of similar to what ended up happening with Edward Snowden, and yet strangely, there's very little being said. There's a big splash when it first broke about the Panama Papers. It's not something that has maintained a presence, I think, like the ongoing revelations of Edward Snowden and similar data leaks. WikiLeaks, you know, have done this in the past. I'm amazed at how little is being said about the Panama Papers compared with other similar data leaks in the past, despite the fact that the Panama Papers represents what many have said, and I think that this is a factual statement, it is the largest data leak of its kind in all history. So again, a hacker has managed to gain access to these documents that tie world leaders to any number of different organizations, and of course their operations with the Fonseca Group, and the utilization of offshore banking hijinks to get around taxation. You know, and so there was this quote, which I've featured elsewhere, but I'll read a little of it for you really quickly right here. It was the one mention of the whole entire Panama Papers situation in Time magazine, something very deserving of a cover story. This is all that was said in the briefing section. It said, in the U.S., the impact of Fonseca thing is sure to be felt at the ballot box, talking about the 2016 election. Many American voters already feel on a gut level that the global capitalism is working mainly for the 1% and not the 99%, and that this has fueled the candidacies of both Bernie Sanders and billionaire Donald Trump. But the Panama Papers go beyond gut feelings to eliminate a key aspect of why the system is working. And this is what they state in Time, namely that globalization has allowed the capital and assets of the rich to travel more freely even than those of everyone else. And the result is rampant tax avoidance, labor offshoring, and a class of elites that flies 35,000 feet over the problems and nations of their taxpayers. And I would just say that that statement right there, Gene, what little was said in Time, nonetheless, I think, illustrates the aims and objectives of global groups today, that effort toward globalization. And the benefit of it is, as described right there, tax avoidance, labor offshoring, and elites who have access to funds and can do with what they want when they want in ways that the 99% are not able to. And that seems to be, conspiratorial though it may sound, a very legitimate reality in the world today, which many either overlook or are simply not aware of at all.
Now, one thing some politicians do is they pretend they're for the little guy. We're going to have policies here that will get you more jobs. So if we cut taxes for the rich, it'll filter down, trickle down to you. Of course, people finally realize 30 years after this was first proposed in the 80s that this doesn't work. Micah Hanks, take a few seconds here and tell us more about the things you do.
I produce the Graylian Report podcast, and occasionally I come on as a guest or a co-host on this one. I've got another podcast that many listeners are probably less aware of, which is called Middle Theory, and you can find that at middletheory.com. That show deals with news and current events and the sort of stuff that we were just talking about in this segment. If you'd like to look at the discussion about UFOs that we featured a bit in the last hour, I've got the article up at micahhanks.com on UFOs and applying science to it. And in the next few days, also look for an article about a brief history of secret societies in the Western world and their influence on global affairs. That's also an interest of mine, and I'm glad to be able to come on and talk about it with you here on the Paracast.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Also check out two, not one, but two, official Paracast fan clubs on Facebook, and I see now that Facebook is growing by leaps and bounds, so somehow we've got to figure out how to take that to the next level. So if you are a Facebook expert, write us here at the Paracast, news@theparacast.com, and tell us how you can help us. We have a budget, I assure you, of exactly zero. But you can help with that, too, if you sign up for the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We offer the ad-free version of this show, no network ads, higher quality audio, therefore a special version of these episodes. We also give you the After the Paracast podcast. And by the way, neighbors, Micah Hanks will be joining us on After the Paracast to add to these discussions and have some other discussions. Next week, we'll be hearing from guest co-host Greg Bishop. And, of course, Chris will be back soon when he's finished with his walkabout. In the meantime, at the Paracast Plus, we also offer some show transcripts. We're starting a video channel and more to come. A modest subscription rate gets you the Paracast Plus. We have a spring sale on long-term subscriptions, five-year subscriptions, lifetime, plus.theparacast.com. Micah Hanks, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Well, it is always my pleasure, Gene.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 10 days by calling 1-800-945-9289.
Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call minicpap.com now for your 10-day at-home trial. 1-800-945-9289. That's 1-800-945-9289.